Welcome to another episode of the S Words Podcast, the roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Owen Fong.
And with us today are two guest hosts you might be familiar with, Danny Suthavarkam and Albert Liu from Ooback.com. So how are you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good, and waiting for the game to come out.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Capcom can count past three now.
All right, well, you guys are diving right into the subject. I know you guys are all excited about this one. This week's topic being Street Fighter, the extremely popular arcade fighter that has been one of Capcom's biggest franchises, and certainly the genre's biggest inspiration. So, we chose this topic because Street Fighter IV is coming out on home console soon. And let's start off with the simple question we usually like to ask. What was the first time you played Street Fighter?
Raging Waters, Street Fighter I, the buttons were broken. Because for the first Street Fighter box, if I remember right, it depended on how hard you hit the button and what attack would come out. And so Street Fighter was one of the most broken cabinets of all time.
Let me think. I don't quite remember. Come to think of it, I never actually played much fighting games until I got into college. But when I got into college, it just kept going. I mean, you were there for the underground, weren't you?
I was not there for the underground. Oh, it was already the barricade really when I got there.
That's right.
For those of you who don't know, there used to be a very good arcade.
Very good. Say it right.
What am I looking for?
Great.
I guess that works.
Tell arcade great.
A great arcade that was downgraded to a very good arcade that was downgraded to a gelato place. I'm not bitter, no.
We're a little bitter.
Everyone
not at all.
Loves gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah. Panda Express.
Is that what it is now?
It's Panda Express?
Apparently they're working on it.
They've taken my college days and turned it into a Panda Express.
No more gelato, Panda Express.
They're sharing the space because they came to the conclusion that that might not be the proper placement for just a gelato place.
So, all of you listeners at home, could you please do me a favor? Turn to the right. Just punch a panda in the face right now.
Or gelato.
Or a gelato guy.
Whichever one you have first.
Yeah, whichever one.
Or if you ever go into Berkeley or attend UC Berkeley, never, ever, ever buy anything from that gelato place. Or when it becomes whatever else it needs to become.
I mean, that arcade was wife, mother, and secret lover to us all. It wasn't even that secret.
That arcade actually made us closer friends.
That was our home away from home.
That was pretty much where we met.
I spent more time there than I spent sleeping.
I definitely spent more time there than I spent in class.
Yeah.
Class? I think I lost a year because I forgot where all of my classes were.
You did take 5 years, yeah?
Yeah. I lost a semester to that thing, pretty much.
Yeah, this is going to be a great hallmark for this is going to be a great advocacy for why we should keep arcades, because it's making our students worse.
It contributes to delinquency. Tell your friends.
But we're all still friends.
Yes. I actually graduated in 4 years.
I graduated in four and a half.
Oh, gee, thanks, guys.
But here's the thing, though. I'm actually surprised that you only started playing fighting games in college, because from what I usually assumed was that you were way better than the rest of us.
Well, he was way better than the rest of us.
He was more compulsive about it.
Which makes me bitter, because I've been playing Street Fighter 2 since it was on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, same with me.
I mean, I remember the day that I learned to do a dragon punch, because it's not a natural motion by any stretch of the imagination. And the day I did it, I'm like, yes! I get dragon punch! Yes! And I played my cousin, who was much better than me, because he had played in the arcade over at his high school. And, you know, I'd jump at him, and he would walk under me and throw me. And I would dragon punch, and he would block and then throw me. And I would just stand there and jab at him, and he would jump at me and throw me. I wasn't very good because I was, like, 8 or 9, but that's, you know.
But yeah,
you
could do a dragon
punch.
I
could do it, but I could do a dragon punch.
All right.
Dude, I still can't even consistently do a dragon punch. It's down.
No.
Down, forward.
Forward, down, down, forward.
Forward, down, forward.
Down, forward.
Forward, down, down, forward. Yeah,
if you look at
it, how is that natural?
6-2-3. It's easy.
Moving from forward to down, you have to go forward, down. It's like when I... Okay, so I got the joystick. I'm like, this? And then I'm supposed to be like, this?
Should we tell him about Summon Suffering?
No, I think you just break him.
Here, I'll give you a hint. Down, forward, up, back, forward, down, forward, down, back, and B.
I don't understand any of that.
Oh, sorry. 3-7-6-2-3-1. And B.
Oh, I get it now.
And then there's also
Duck Dance.
Duck Dance.
That starts with up forward.
But how do you do
and
that?
Is a throw.
I can't ever figure out, like, without moving the joystick into the bottom right, like, how do I get it there? Do I just let go and then go down? And then
you have a very brief period where you let the joystick go neutral.
Oh.
Very brief.
I guess I always miss it then.
Yeah. It's a pretty easy thing to miss. But you want to know what's even easier to miss? Spinning pile driver. 360! I was never able to do that. I still can't do one either.
You guys gotta work on that, man.
I hate you.
You're welcome.
Well, no. I mean, like, here's the thing, Danny. I've seen you almost beat, suddenly I forgot his name. The
John
one
Choi?
John Choi. I've seen you almost beat John Choi in Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, and I was like, amazed. I was actually thinking you were gonna win.
He gave me a round, but the thing about when he was playing, he was still playing relatively seriously.
I know.
So I'd like to think that he wasn't sandbagging that badly. Of course, I have no bearing because I didn't play that much beyond that. But yeah, I guess you were there for that tournament.
I was. I specifically went during that tournament just because I had heard that he was going to be playing there. I didn't realize like you were going to be playing against him.
I don't think anybody realized that.
Yeah.
When we saw that draw, we're like,
really?
Well.
We who are about to die salute you.
Pretty much.
But I was like, to me, I was a freshman at that time. And like, you know, I wasn't that big of a gamer. I was just starting to get back into games a lot. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, I was there. And I remember with my eyes glazed over, like, oh my god, Danny might beat John Choi.
No.
Now, before we go any further, there are two things about notation that'll come up a lot in this conversation that we should point out. One is the random numbers we'll be throwing out. The numbers refer to positions of the joystick. Look down at your numpad, and on your numpad, you will see the numbers 1, 2, and 3, which are on the bottom left, down, and then bottom right, then 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. These are very important because it's much easier to use that as notation than to use down, down, forward, forward, up, forward, up, up, left. Yeah, and so that's one very important thing to note. I will be saying things like 6, 2, 3, 2, 3, 6, 4, 1, 2, 3, 6. Just look down at your numpad. You'll figure out what the heck I'm saying. Sometimes I'll just say them for the heck of it.
I will be saying fireball, dragon punch, because I'm not a wuss.
You be quiet. And then here's another thing about notation. You see, something that some people may not know, it's a pretty famous story, but, you know, it's an old story at this point. But the four bosses of Street Fighter II had their names shuffled around, largely because they didn't want to get sued by the Mike Tyson estate. You see, M. Bison was a boxer who got kicked out for cheating. He's totally not Mike Tyson. No, never.
No,
not at all. And so the thing is that in the U.S. version, to avoid indelicacies, lawsuits, Mike Tyson showing up at their door and beating every last one of them into a pulp, which you couldn't rule out at that point. You can never rule that
out. You can't even rule that out now.
To prevent that, they shuffled their names. So we use the following terms somewhat interchangeably. Dictator. M. Bison.
Vega.
Vega. They're the same guy. Vega is his Japanese name. Dictator is the thing that they have in common. M. Bison is the name they gave him to, you know, avoid
getting sued.
Getting beaten.
Or beat.
There's also Claw. In Japanese, he's Balrog. In English, he's
Vega. Vega.
Yes. And then there's Boxer, who is Mike Bison. And
Balrog, the American release.
As a note, this also extended to rival schools. There is a very religious black exchange student going to the foreigner school.
Who happens to be about a head and, actually 2.5 heads taller than anybody else on the cast, with the possible exception of the principal.
No.
There's somebody else? Oh, gun. The swimmer.
So anyway, his name is George Bowman, not George Foreman at all.
Mostly bald. I think he has a mohawk or something.
Yeah, I think he has a mohawk, but he prays a lot.
Yeah.
That's what you remember about him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for some reason Capcom really likes to play with that. I mean, in God Hand, half of the lines that come out of the thug's mouths are from his "I want to eat his children" speech.
You're not Alexander.
I'm Alexander. My defenses are impregnable.
My style is impetuous.
I'm Alexander the Great. So, yeah, aside from the diversion, there, explanation over.
So, here's something I want to ask about. Like, was Street Fighter really the first fighting game that pretty much all of us played? Like, well, the first that kind of style, you know, 2D two people
square. It was the only game in town for about a decade. I mean,
it was the only important one. Certainly.
Like, I didn't even have an SNK machine, like, anywhere near me, so that was pretty much it.
But I mean, like, when did you first see, like, King of Fighters?
Oh, jeez.
1998.
It's not even King of Fighters, right? It should be Fatal Fury, right?
Yeah.
Fatal Fury was first. There was Fatal Fury, there was Art of Fighting, if you feel like counting that, and most people don't.
No.
Although Art of Fighting did come up with one of the best in-game, meta fighting jokes of all time.
Dan.
The existence of Dan. Did you know
Dan.
That?
Dan.
No,
Dan is an SNK parody, because in Art of Fighting, Ryo Sakazaki is an obvious Ryu clone, down to every detail. I think, isn't his ending the same, too, frame for frame?
I don't know if it's frame for frame, but there's definitely elements of that in there.
But anyway, so he's got, all these,
Oh, wait, and just to reiterate, Robert Garcia, his rival slash, playboy, playboy of a rival. Yeah, he's not Ken at all.
So here's the thing, is that Capcom said, okay, they've copied us, now what do? Oh, let's make fun of them. We're going to make Dan, this guy in a pink gi. He has the same, father complex. He has no attacks worth mentioning, but he makes really funny faces. And that's Dan. That's how Dan came to be. He's a copy of a copy, and it's awesome.
It is, in fact, awesome.
Well, I mean, when you choose between Capcom and SNK, I mean, those two had such a huge rivalry. I mean,
they did have a huge rivalry.
To the point where they did that, which one do you pick? I mean, SNK, they released a King of Fighters, every year.
Yeah, they stopped at 2003.
You know what's really weird, though? For me, it was all a Street Fighter for the unarmed 2D fighters, and SNK for all the,
for Last Blade. For End Showdown.
So it's really odd. Like, for unarmed, though, I mean, Street Fighter was it.
Well, both of them had their ups and downs, but Street Fighter had the following.
Yeah.
SNK was not nearly as well.
Was SNK really considered niche, even for the fighting genre?
It wasn't niche. It was just smaller.
It was definitely number two.
Yeah, like these sorts of situations.
In terms of accessibility, to play an SNK game back in the day, you had to shell out hundreds of dollars for either an SNK arcade cabinet or the home system, which was pretty much the same price. About the same price
because it had the same hardware.
But yeah, in terms of availability, these games are built based on their following in the first place. There's a very strong network effect in place, and the more people you play against, the better the game gets.
Okay, so it's just more like whichever game has more momentum of fans?
Well, it's not all of that, because, it's also a matter of game balance. Going back to last week's StarCraft episode, it's a matter of how interesting is it to watch. I mean, how interesting is it to watch Sagat low-fierce everything and roll cancel? It isn't. So CVS2 kind of was dead in the water for a while.
Well, it had its own following of all these people who were,
well, it was all right
really
until
hardcore.
They figured out that.
I mean, come on, this is the same population that managed to turn MVC2 into a viable scene that actually had a meta game.
You mean Sentinel versus everybody?
No, there was a specific sort of meta game. Like, for the longest time, Magneto was nowhere on the map. Magneto was considered, he's a good assist. Actually, you don't even know if it was an assist. I think it was, he makes a good third, I guess, if you want to mix things up. Then they discovered it's infinite, and he shot up to the top of the God tier.
God tier? I thought he was on the bottom of the God tier, near God tier.
Hmm?
No, he's in there.
The more infinites, he just picked up more and more infinites once they found the first one. They realized, I could fly everywhere. And suddenly you could just set it up.
The infinite is basically where you can just keep hitting them, without...
You hit them, yeah. The combo meter continues to go up, and they can never get out.
They have
basically
no
thing to do.
They have no opportunity.
Actually, it's a part of the game.
Yeah, it's considered part of the game because you have to set it up. It's not something...
Mostly the things that are not considered part of the game are bugs, like Gambit in MVC2, Guile handcuffs, things like that, where you exploit a bug in the game, and you are just...
It's gone.
Basically,
it is not playing the game.
Yeah, you don't end the round prematurely. That's just kind of a dick move.
It's a matter of you are there to play the game, not to exploit a bug and walk away for 99 seconds. Damn it!
Yeah.
Well.
Luckily, people stopped playing Gambit after, I'd say the third or fourth tournament of it, and the tiers started showing themselves, although the tiers were ridiculously different. Like, back before they discovered things like Air Hyper Viper Beam.
I hate that so much.
Hold on a second. Another little terminology explanation. There's something that we call the tier system. It is what happens when, over a large sample size of people at the same skill level, people playing certain characters at certain skill levels, how they do against each other. You make a grid, you see if you know what their matchup is in terms of percentages, if they will win 5 out of 10, if they will win 6 out of 10. You add them all up, and whoever has the best matchups over across the board is considered the top tier. If they have ridiculously good matchups, it's called the god tier.
Well, that only really came... That particular terminology came up mostly in MVC2, where 3 or 4 characters are simply so much better than everybody else that you can just cut off the rest of the roster.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's MVC2.
Well, it was also there in Showdown.
Well, 2? 3.
3.
2 and 3, probably.
Yeah. Okyo and a couple other people.
Okyo.
What is it? Wasn't Bust Haomaru in there somewhere?
Bust Haomaru's for 4.
For 4, okay.
He's not...
He's good.
He's not...
He hurts.
Though. Yeah.
He's, okay.
But so he's not Ukyo in 2. Like,
he's not Uber.
All right.
He's not, hey, I'm just going to chip you through death from over here.
Here endeth the lesson.
Okay, here's one thing that I've actually been wanting to know for a long time. I'm pretty sure Danny can probably answer this the best.
What do you got?
So I grew up with Street Fighter 2. I know Street Fighter 2. I know the Championship Edition. I know Turbo,
Hyper Fighting,
Super Turbo.
And then, like, I don't know where it really goes on. I mean, eventually I started hearing about, like, Alpha.
Alpha?
But
Alpha.
I want to know about Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, when that was kind of out. That was around the time when I just completely stopped hearing people talk about Street Fighter.
Wow, that's a shame.
I mean, yeah, like, It always feels to me like that's the one that people never really paid much attention to.
Actually, Street Fighter III Third Strike is incredibly well-balanced for a fighting game. I mean, like, there is a very large, like, portion of the cast that is simply listed as good. If you're good enough with them, you can probably win. You could probably take some rounds. For about half the cast, there just simply isn't a complete... No, you're just going to get owned sort of scenario.
What we had with Street Fighter 3, as far as I can tell, is a degree of difficulty gap. Because the entire parry system rewards reflexes, knowing every kind of, possible move. I mean, there's a Serlin concept called Yomi. And it literally means, you know, to read. And it's reading your opponent's next move. And the parry system rewards that so well. By if you deduce correctly what your opponent's going to be doing next, his ass is yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of half the fun.
You know, I mean, it was less about... At that point in Street Fighter 3 high-level play, it became less about reflexes, less about reaction time, and more about knowledge.
Yeah, it was more anticipate than react. And, yeah, like, most of the characters that I play, that was really important. Like, say, Q.
Right.
Q has no need for reflexes. You simply have to know that it's coming.
Because your main method of blocking is not blocking and just trading.
No, no.
Because you hit harder than them.
You could... The entire point of it is Q really encouraged you to parry.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you parried...
They ate tons of damage.
They're taking 40%.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right.
If you miss the parry, you're taking tick damage.
Well, after you've talked a couple times.
Well, yeah. That was the tricky part, usually.
So, actually, but I mean, like, I understand that Street Fighter III Third Strike sort of got into being as casual of a fighting game.
It was
game.
A pure technician's game.
Oh, man, yeah. It totally was.
Was that really the reason why people didn't play or, like, to talk about it?
Well, it was also...
I always felt like the casual market stopped paying attention
There was this thing. There was no casual market at that point. The arcade was dying out as a going concern. The online play experience was still not developed yet. It was terrible. One of the first times I ever played over Xbox Live was Capcom vs. SNK2, and the lag was noticeable in affecting play. You were in a dead zone. It was just like TV right before the cable era. It was just stagnant.
Dreamcast only?
I think so. Yeah, Third Strike
only came out for specifically
for Dreamcast, so it was really hard to get your hands on it.
Bah, I had like 3 copies.
Well,
That's because we're Sega kids.
Oh, yeah. Burned.
I bought one.
You bought one? All right.
I bought one.
But yeah, the thing is, it was a matter of accessibility. I mean, look at the numbers for Street Fighter 2 HD Remix. Those are really good.
Yeah.
The numbers are really good. And it's not just because people like the Street Fighter 2 game and they're being all retro, although, you know, Capcom did a really good job with it. It's because you can sit down on your couch, turn on the TV, and play as if someone's sitting next to you.
Well, not
except for the part where you punch him in the face for being, you know, for spinning pile driver or something.
Well, I mean, so now that we have Street Fighter IV coming, and we're seeing it pretty much in the U.S. being a console-based game. I mean, there are cabinets in certain arcades.
Yeah, but they're imported from Japan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Emulated, imported from Japan.
Do you think that Street Fighter IV will be a big seller in the American market, or is everyone, every gamer is just sort of kind of getting hyped that the fact there is another numbered Street Fighter coming out?
It's more the latter than the former, in my opinion.
I think so.
The thing is that there will be a very good community for it online. That's nearly a guarantee. From what I've played of Street Fighter IV, it's still very accessible to the casual level. It rewards skill, as any good fighting game should, but it's simple enough. They've simplified controls. You don't have to do all sorts of crazy motions in order to be considered good at it.
Like, one of the major barriers, I think, to playing Street Fighter III is the parry system, if used on you, makes you look really bad.
Like, and it's really discouraging.
It makes you look like a fool if you get parried once and lose half a bar. There's less of that in Street Fighter IV. I mean, they have the focus system, which which basically takes a similar design space, but there's less of this, hey, throw out whatever the hell you want. I can stop you and then own you.
Yeah.
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 But, you know.
Not that stopped me from getting owned in any Japanese arcade.
Danny's owned me a bunch.
Not in Street Fighter 4. Well, I'm sure that'll happen, though.
I'm sure it'll happen.
So actually, Street Fighter 4, I know this. You've already played it.
Yeah.
While you were in Japan. I mean, I've seen it in Arcade Infinity in Southern California.
Yeah,
as well.
I played it over in SoCal a little bit, too.
Yeah, so come on, tell me. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah, were you just too busy getting owned by Japanese people?
Oh, no. The thing is that Street Fighter 4 is an interesting spectator sport. At a lot of Japanese arcades, it's a pretty common thing. They will post a TV with a feed from two of the linked cabinets, and they will just show you how they're doing. And it's fascinating if you actually have an idea what's going on. And Street Fighter 4 moves at just a good enough pace that you can follow it, but it still seems pretty fast-paced and you can... have an idea what's going on. Unlike, say, Guilty Gear, where you were watching six parts of the screen all at once.
Where, yeah, guys would just jump, you'd see the camera just sort of jump up and down constantly because
MVC2
of various events going on.
MVC2 is pretty bad that way, too. But MVC2 does it intentionally, where it tried to make it seem like you were in hyperspace.
Yeah.
There were all these particles coming at the screen, the background would keep changing, you would jump up six screens, and there would be a little arrow saying, hey, this is where player
one is. Down there somewhere.
He's down there somewhere. You should probably drop smart bombs on him. smart bomb.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, that was the other thing I hated about MVC2, by the way, is that you had the same voice clip over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, I actually
was only encouraged spamming.
It encouraged spamming because of the super system. You go, oh, 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 oh. It sounded like Storm was pumping something.
Yeah, and something tells me these people are just going to take that sound out of context now.
I fully expect this sound to be used.
I'm actually
for
glad that you did that
messages.
Because a phone was ringing and you covered up the noise.
I guess that works.
That works.
But you know, I mean, there's only so many times you can hear smart bombs, smart bombs, smart bombs before you want to strangle somebody.
That is very true.
Whereas in
Rocket
Street Fighter,
Punch.
Rocket Punch.
In Street Fighter, you are. If you do the same move over and over again, someone will go, hey, look, he's going to do that again. Punch. And you will die.
Yeah. Predictability is not going to get you anywhere in the core Street Fighter.
Unless you're maybe Sagat.
We don't talk about that.
Everybody talks about Sagat.
I don't know. He didn't look that bad this time around.
He's apparently top tier.
Yeah, but I don't think you can do the as crazy old fireball traps as you can now.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Geef is still up there. Let's see. Where's... Bison's actually kind of low tier now, isn't
he? Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, Bison's pretty low.
Sorry, Dictator.
Dictator.
So actually, what was your experience like playing it, though? Did it feel like how you would expect? Was there anything really different?
It went exactly how I expected. I died in approximately 30 seconds total. I mean, it was not even a contest.
That sounds about right.
I mean, I was just hypnotized by the jiggling fat on Rufus, and I was just throwing out attacks, and he was like, what are you doing, fat white man? I'm like, oh, I'm American, but I'm at East Asian. And then he proceeded to wipe the floor with my butt.
What about you, Danny? Have you played it yet?
Well, here's the thing. I played it once when I was in SoCal. And here's the thing. I played a lot of Street Fighter III Third Strike. My main characters were Makoto, who is not in Street Fighter 4.
But she's the anti-Shoto. It's awesome. Anyway, sorry.
Q, who is not in Street Fighter 4. And I occasionally played Alex, who was also not in Street Fighter 4.
So
I had to start from scratch when I was watching it. And basically I just went to the thing that was closely resembled what I usually did. Abel! Abel is fun.
He is
fun. I
get
my ass handed to me half the time.
He's a Shoto squasher.
Yeah, that he is. Well,
sorry, let me explain here. Shoto here refers to Shotokan Karate, which is
technically what Ryu and Ken use.
It's what they're listed as using.
Last time I checked, Shotokan does not actually teach you how to throw energy balls.
Or float.
Shotokan, if I remember right, teaches you one punch, one kill.
Oh. Wow, I didn't even have that. That takes two hits.
Anyway.
So actually, what fighting games are you still playing right now before Street Fighter 4 comes out? I mean,
Jesus, fighting
when
games?
When Street Fighter 4 comes out,
okay.
I mean, we're all pretty much going to be playing it right away.
Does Quizmagic Academy count as a fighting game?
No.
What is that?
It's another Japanese arcade game. To a fighting game we'll be playing, probably?
What?
The new Baldur game.
That'll come up later.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
In a different podcast. But
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's okay.
Okay, so here's just for sake of reference, there is one actual thing, there is one thing that unites the three of us here at the table, and that's the gut punch.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with punching someone in the gut until they go flying into the air.
Unless they're pregnant. That's NG.
Well, yeah.
Okay. But we're talking about fighting games.
We're talking about fighting games, it's true. Yeah. So
be wrong if we were pregnant.
So anyway, the Baldur games are technically Japanese porn.
Can we save that for another podcast?
But we don't really play them for the porn. We play them for robots. Let's just save that for another podcast. Probably sex or something like that.
That's a good one.
Porn games.
So anyway, back to Street Fighter. What were you going to ask again?
My question was, what are the games you guys are playing right now, the fighting games you're playing? I mean, we know Street Fighter 4 comes out.
The thing. It's hard to find. Actually, that's not true.
Big B, right? What?
Caliber.
We're barely playing Caliber these days.
That's true. Caliber used to be good.
Restrict this to 2D.
Okay. 2D.
The last game we played was Big Bang Beat.
Big Bang Beat.
Which was awesome in its own way. It was a game that was based on
a board game!
Surprise! This may come up a lot. You might as well get used to it.
And it was actually a very well-done, fast-paced game.
It was fun.
Until they get handed over future development to another team, and that team decided
to make a different game and not tell us.
It's like, hey, by the way, the move list in the game doesn't apply anymore. Here's a little text file. Follow it.
Hey, by the way, all the AI is screwed up because, well, we changed all the moves. Just deal.
Oh, yeah. We revamped the engine.
Yeah, we're a little
better. All the resource system is completely different, and it's like...
Well, let's see. Hold on. What about KOF 12?
I played that.
Yeah, see?
I like KOF.
I haven't played KOF.
This actually may sound a little bit sacrilegious to this table, but I actually started on KOF before I played it in a Street Fighter. Because of Mal.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
KOF 98.
That's fine.
Me getting my ass handed to me.
Oh, man, SNK, King of Fighters 98. I spent so much time just putting the controller down because Yashiro had thrown me. It was just like, yep, I know what's coming.
Chuck!
Wait, Glenn. Super punch. I'm dead. Congratulations, guys.
It wasn't quite that scale. It was just he had the throw that went into that went into the unblockable.
I think I can beat that story. My first 3D fighting game, actually playing against other people. I mean, Soul Calibur was a great game for the Dreamcast, but I didn't play that against other people that much.
Okay.
Yeah, just us.
It was...
Sometimes.
When I seriously started trying to learn Soul Calibur was with 2.
Oh.
Against G.
Right.
And his Taki.
Oh, good night!
I've totally forgotten about G. G, if you're out there, and you're a doctor now...
He's a doctor now.
You're supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't caught up in a while. Contact us at feedback@smrobotpodcast.com. Anyways, going back.
Soul Calibur. Well, Calibur. After 2, I decided I was just done with Soul Calibur. It stopped.
Calibur was never really. It never really struck me as supposed to be just all that deep.
It really is.
It's really pokey.
Yeah,
it felt really pokey to me.
I know, like, I've seen high-level play, I got a taste of it back when I was playing that game seriously, and then 3 came out, and 3 was apparently only on the console, so I was like, whatever.
It came out the arcade edition later, but yeah, I think we were all out by then.
Yeah. And the arcade has ceased to be anything near
not
us.
Not bitter at all. Still.
Not bitter at all.
Don't mind us.
So, Danny, are you playing any fighting game right now?
I'm still playing a little bit. I play Calibur occasionally.
Calibur 4.
Oh, man.
Calibur
4. When I was in the arcade in Japan in August, they were trying a bunch of location tests for things like, you know, Arcana Hearts 2. Meh.
Meh.
They were playing the Fist of the North Star fighting game.
Meh. Meh.
Blaze Blue, the location test was at AX, and that one looked interesting, because it's from the Guilty Gear team.
It did look pretty good.
Yeah. Then there was Fate Unlimited Codes, which is,
I saw so much advertising for that when I was in Japan.
You want to know why? Because people will buy the figure.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It came packaged with a figure. If you look, this is funny, if you look at the reviews for it on Amazon for Fate Unlimited Codes, it is a very even split. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if you look at people who rated it 5, uniformly they say, the figure that comes with this game is really good. I haven't opened the game yet.
That sounds about right.
That's disconcerting in some little way.
I don't know. The design of the fighting game seems to have become a lost art outside of the doors of Capcom. And
hey, SNK's coming back. They're working
SNK's coming back.
They're working on another KOF.
They still need to come out with another weapon-based fighter.
That's right. KOF 12 is the one they're working on right now. KOF 11 was the last one they released.
I mean, like, nobody really gets excited about a new King of Fighters game. Oh, okay.
Hey,
except for fighting game enthusiasts. It's become kind of niche, right?
People
right
got now, it right? is.
Like, the fighting game?
Well, that's it because the FPS just completely took over as the multiplayer fighting game.
Yeah,
because
the
entire reason that people play fighting games is for the community.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You, like, playing a fighting game in a vacuum is...
It's really boring.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... It's like, you make friends, even just, like, random pickup games online.
You make friends, you make rivals. I mean, there's still people I walk around, like, I walk the streets and see people I recognize from playing fighting games. I don't know their names, but I know who they played.
That's how I got to know you guys.
Pretty much.
By Danny beating me up in, what was it? It was MVC. The first MVC.
I didn't play that much the first MVC. Oh, it must have been Guilty Gear.
It was MVC 2, when MVC 2...
Back when they hadn't actually taken over for, like, competitive purposes, and I was just dicking around with things like Hayato.
Hey, I was dicking around with Jin.
Yeah.
Oh, Jin.
Yeah. For those not in the know, those are, like, two of the worst characters in the game.
Hey, Jin had an infinite if you taunted.
Yeah, if they helped you.
Just the right position.
You had to taunt them in the corner and then hit the buttons really fast so his towel would catch on fire. It was the best infinite ever, because it wasn't really an infinite. It was just stupid.
It was, in fact, an infinite that required your opponent's permission, which is okay in my book.
Okay, so I gotta ask you guys this. I've actually never known this from either of you, or any of you. My favorite fighting game is actually Marvel vs. Capcom 2, because I actually just like playing around. I'm not really that serious about fighting games.
That's
You know, Cyclops coming out and saying Optic Blast a million times.
Dreams, but don't die! Gene Splice!
Gene Splice!
Optic Blast! Behold! Behold! Low Fierce! Behold! Hyper Optic Blast! Oh, no, it's Mega Optic Blast. Dang it!
He just says Optic Blast.
Oh, he just says Optic Blast?
Okay. But, you know, for the big one, he just says, Behold!
Behold!
Yeah.
So my question is, what is your favorite fighting game? Can you actually pick one that you think is your favorite?
Guilty Gear XX.
Really?
Hands down.
Huh.
Guilty Gear XX was the most fun for me. It rewarded you for the act of walking forward. There was very little in the way of defense in that game. It was all about aggression and breaking your opponent's aggression and regaining the initiative.
Jeez, I don't even know. It's pretty close for me. I mean, like, Last Blade 2, though.
Yeah.
Definitely up there.
Yes.
I think that's the only fighting game I ever see you talk about.
It's awesome.
That's not true. I talk about Showdown 4, too, but Last Blade 2 is just...
Except when I'm around, because I just throw out fireballs as Akemi.
I hate you so much.
See?
Hate. Anyway, yeah, I mean, Last Blade 2, I think, it just really did it for me. The character designs were all really good. Really, really good. And at least amongst the people I played with, there wasn't really anyone who was completely dominant, well, except for Mal. That was the player and not the character. And, and I had a pretty good time.
For me, it's a bit of a toss-up, actually. In terms of just, like, style and just sheer goofball entertainment value, I don't think anything's gonna beat all the random stories we managed to get out of Guilty Gear XX. Just because of Come on, Wakamoto Norio.
Well, I just like the fact that I can throw up my arms and say, mine's shorter! And you actually understand what I'm
consider
saying.
Yes, and the fact that he considers it a point of pride.
It is a point of pride. That was one of the few times I managed to beat you. Beat your Johnny.
Beat your Johnny?
I beat his Johnny once with a scalpel. Because we both knocked each other down, and he supered, and I supered, and my super swims in the ground.
And mine actually takes a swing at somebody who's supposed to be in the air at the time.
Or, you know, at least...
Or at least standing on the
standing
ground.
Height.
Right.
Stupid tallest, shortest character in the game.
Oh,
but, I'm actually kind of surprised. but we have two Sammy.
Well, in terms of technical value, I'm going to have to go with Third Strike, because I played the hell out of that game.
I wish I'd been able
to
play Third
Strike. I met so many people playing that game. I got good. I got my ass handed to me on several occasions, and just slowly, slowly learned how to beat them. And
I wish I'd
there's some. Unfortunately, the arcade closed before I can actually learn something off this one ridiculously good Chun-Li player that was playing over in the barricade. I mean, I remember he was there for the last day of the barricade. We were playing against him. He had like a 30-win streak. He had to walk away from that one.
Wow.
Wow. To go to class or to eat?
I have no idea. Well, no, this wasn't closing time. This was the last day, though, and I remember being there for it. I remember playing him, you know, I just ran into the brick wall that is a good Chun-Li player. And
I don't know if you guys can't see this, but Danny actually is tearing up right now talking about Street Fighter 3.
It's the rain, clearly. Uh-huh.
His eyes are red. It's as if someone has either grabbed him by the man zone and pulled, or like shown him the ending of To Field of Dreams. Want to have a cash?
Damn you, man!
I really wish this finger would project through the sound.
You're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. I mean, that was that last day was glorious and terrible and awesome.
That's true, though. I mean, you know, we were college students in the waning days of the arcade era, and so arcades really do mean a lot to us, especially the one that we went to school with. You know. It's kind of a harsh blow that the barricade finally closed.
I wish I was in Japan just so I could have an arcade. Also so I could play Quiz Magic Academy against other people.
You're a sick dog.
I am not sick.
You and your touching games.
It is not a touching game. It's a touchscreen game.
Yeah, except when it's a touching game.
It's right. A touchscreen game. You choose the answers on the screen. It's a trivia game. Right. And I like beating people at their own game in a different language.
No, this is the same game with like the. This is the same. Was this the same arcade where they offered the towel so you could wipe off?
No,
the
that's Idolmaster.
Oh, okay.
Be quiet.
Just checking. Yeah, it was.
No, but it's. I mean, like when I went to Japan, I went to an arcade and just soaked it up for a while, and then I had to flee because it was covered in cigarette smoke and I couldn't stand
it. Well, then again, there was also the other reason I would go to an arcade game. In Japan would be for the Gundam pod game, Senjo Kizuna, where you just pilot things, and you can be Federation, you can be Zeon, and you can be
had one of those at the Barricade, and that got so much love from us, it was ridiculous.
Oh no, this is pod game.
Yeah, the actual pod.
Yeah, actual full-scale.
Oh. This is a full-scale thing. And this is another of those games where you can just sit down outside and watch the feed, and you can be fascinated.
Yeah.
I actually went to an arcade just like maybe a month ago when I was in Southern California for business. I went with my friend Ryan. We went to Arcade Infinity.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I actually got to see Street Fighter 4 live in person. And, you know, I was really excited to go because, like, I've been to Arcade Infinity like two times before.
Yeah.
And they were a big thing for me when I was into Bimani games. And, like, they're huge for in terms of, you know, just Japanese games. And I went there and I was like, all excited to get, you know, really into playing all those games. But I miss the barricade.
You miss the people.
My main thing was, I was telling him was that we were playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, and I was saying, I miss seeing Danny play.
I miss killing people with Ibuki's taunt.
Yeah, I was just like, it's not the same place in terms of an arcade anymore. Yeah,
I miss everything about that arcade, from the guy who taught me that on simple mode in certain songs in Dance Dance Revolution, you could walk out of the arcade, get a soda, and come back, and then you would have to hit a note. It was great. For the ones that were really syncopated.
I mean, there was about a year where literally you could just go around. There was a 90% chance that the other people in the arcade were named either Danny, Eric, Mike, or Patrick.
That's true.
And that was just cool. Because, you know, then that was part of the reason why I never bothered to learn anybody's names, because they probably overlapped with somebody. So,
which Eric are you again?
Yeah, it was just, okay, so you played Ryu. You also play Makoto. Oh, yeah, you. Yeah, you're pretty much Ken exclusively. Oh, yeah, the Akuma player. Yeah, I know you.
Yeah, actually, you get to know people by their characters. And the thing is that, in a lot of ways, those characters become an extension of their personality, which is why I played Faust in Guilty Gear. Because I got to poke people in the butts with a scalpel.
Yeah.
Throughout random things. It was brilliant.
Yeah. It's true.
But, yeah, I mean, like, fighting games in general, I mean, that was the whole thing about Third Strike. It's a very, you know, technical game. Guilty Gear XX is really stylish. I mean, like, I learned Japanese from Guilty Gear XX.
I learned how to make haikus at random.
Slayer. Never did learn that Infinite.
My favorite haiku that we pulled out from the random one was, if you translate it out from the Japanese, it means, I like to run around naked with corrupt members of parliament.
Members of parliament!
Corrupt members of parliament.
I think I was there for that.
It was brilliant. I mean, Guilty Gear was great just for pulling out all the stops. It's just like, it played as if, well, your hands could never stop when you were playing Guilty Gear, because the game rewarded you for moving forward, it gave you super meter for walking forward. It let just aggression take control. And so it wasn't necessarily about reaction, it was about initiative, which was, you know, my whole thing.
Yeah.
The entire reason I could actually do anything.
It was a really aggressive game, and that's why I can, like, alternate between the two, because they're two really different mindsets. I mean, to some degree, you're still attacking, but, you know, at least for Third Strike, you're occasionally, you know, thinking about defense, figuring out what they're doing next, and reacting.
And trying to snuff it.
And, you know, that was fun with things like Q. For those who might not be into the scene, Q is a 7-foot tall android robot thing with an iron mask, a trench coat, and a fedora. And yes, he's largely considered one of the worst characters in the game until you taunt. And every time you taunt, you take a little less damage. If you taunt 3 times, you're taking half the damage of anything else in the game. And at that point, you can go to work. Because it's very demoralizing when they realize that that combo that would normally kill you if they landed it twice now deals tick damage.
Yeah, it was especially demoralizing to Yoon and Chun-Li players.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all about poke, 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 poke.
And the sad part is, it's still a bad matchup, because they can, in fact, just poke you to death if they're patient.
Yeah.
The important thing is...
They have to be patient.
Yes. The important thing is, your job is to make them impatient by frustrating them.
I was very good at frustrating people.
You're still good at frustrating people, especially me.
Yeah.
It is a transferable skill.
It is a transferable skill.
Oh, man.
All right. Any last-minute thoughts before we wrap up?
Street Fighter 4. You'll probably be able to find me online. I'll be playing the fat white guy.
Jesus. Yeah, I'll probably be playing it with Danny, and I will probably be the, you know, Ryu scrub of choice for him to practice his anti-Ryu character on.
I'm going
to
be busy learning the bottom tier, because Fuerte has a stun gun headbutt.
El Fuerte?
Yeah.
Why do you want El Fuerte? Why do you do this to yourself?
Because he has a stun gun headbutt.
Because A, he
but
has a stun gun
so much better than
yes. Him. They're both at the bottom of the tier.
Yeah?
Which is great, because I love when people treat those tiers as, you know, gospel. Like, this is MVC 2 or something.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they realize, oh, wait.
Well, that was a...
It's more important if they know the character.
That's especially important, if I remember right, in
you don't
Guilty
have to
Gear.
Tell me.
In the Guilty Gear series... What we liked about that was that anybody had a chance at anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny, I played Mitsurugi, and I skipped the game where he was actually good.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I missed the game where Shanghua was good. That was 2.
Shanghua was good.
She was all right.
Oh, wait, yeah, I remember.
Shanghua was pretty good. Some of that.
Anyway.
And then people figured out how to deal.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Street Fighter 4.
I mean, I remember the day in Soul Calibur 2 when people realized, hey, we can beat Nightmare. We can beat Siegfried now. He's left-handed.
Oh,
as
God.
If this was some kind of like gift from God. It's like, he's left-handed. We can beat him now.
It is kind of important.
It is,
which is the scary part. But yeah, I'm looking forward for Street Fighter 4, and I get the feeling, unfortunately, that it's going to crush my dreams the same way Soul Calibur 4 crushed my dreams of actually having a fighting game community.
No,
that's not true. I mean,
you've got Kevin.
Us.
Albert and me on your friends list.
That's true. I guess that's a start.
And I mean, remember how we made Soul Calibur 2 amusing? It was the exact same way we made MVC 2 amusing.
Right.
crotch stupidity. Volleyball?
No, and by Guilty Gear XX amusing. Hey guys, there's a random button. Ding! We both got Voldo. Crotch time!
Crotch time!
Crotch volleyball was the main reason I played through to as long as I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crotch volleyball with
crotch
me.
Crotch volleyball.
If you see me in a at an upcoming convention or anything like that, ask me about my crotch volleyball.
We need buttons. We need buttons for that.
That's true.
Ask me about my crotch button. Yeah. That can be the first piece of official S-Word podcast merchandise.
Oh my crotch volleyball.
This is only like the third episode.
Hey, gotta get in.
You gotta plan ahead.
Like franchising.
You too can have your own S-Words podcast, but we claim S, you have to do P. Or maybe Q.
The Q
words podcast would last three episodes.
Hey, I could make it happen.
It would be like Quigley Down Under.
Have you even seen that movie?
No. What else would it be? It would be like Quiche. It would be White Man. White Men Can't. It would be White Men Can't Jump because of that scene where she goes on Jeopardy and it's foods that start with Q.
I think that's a little too specific for a subject.
You be quiet. And what else would be under Q?
Dude, don't worry about it. We do S, not Q.
Clinton Richardson.
Would we really want to do a podcast on All Quiet on the Western Front?
Hey, I could talk about that forever, I have an English degree.
German warfare? What?
I'm still wondering when we're going to do a topic on actual literature. But games are good.
Games are good.
Yeah, let's stick to my strengths.
I think the moment we start talking about literature, we'll lose listeners.
Well, it depends on what literature we're talking about.
Hey, if it gets...
Spider-Man counts as literature, right?
It's a book. In the library. So, yeah. So are magazines.
All right.
Yeah. Whoever does D-Words, when Debbie Does Dallas, is probably a very defining moment in American literature.
That's three D's right there.
Exactly.
All right. Lastly, if you have any comments, questions, or topic suggestions, please email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. You can also find us online at s-words-podcast.com, where you can check out the upcoming episode listings and leave us comments on each episode. So next week we'll be covering one of our really, really big subjects, and I wonder how long that runtime is going to go, because this one already went to like 45 minutes. The subject will be Sega.
All around Sega.
That means Dreamcast, Saturn, Sega Tasanshiro, the Sega arcades, everything. UFO catchers, even, right?
The UFO catchers.
Yeah. All right. So,
I'm looking for some sailors.
Do you know where Chinese hang out?
So let's wrap this episode up with the quote sound off. Dom, lead us off.
Sega!
You must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance.
Sega da Sanshiro, Sega da Sanshiro, Sega Sanshiro.
Toya!
Optic Blast!
My sound is probably fine.
Bison! This is delicious!
And you are overly loud now.
Why am I-